The Bama Beat Podcast is brought to you by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order at Zaxby's.com/podcast. That's Zaxby's.com/podcast.
Hi, this is Cecil Hurt with the Tide Sports Picks Podcast, a weekly exercise in semi-futility that we're going to turn around this week. We're all going 10-0 this week. Interesting games in the SEC, some interesting national games. It's a very interesting weekend. Last weekend is just hard to pick games. I think Clint and I went 5-5 and Hunter didn't.
Did not do well.
So anyway, here's Clint to take us into this week's picks.
All right, guys, let's just go ahead and forget last week, move on.
Please forget last week. I went 3-7, so you could make money off probably taking my pick and just doing the opposite.
Are we fading Hunter? Is that official?
Do the opposite, yep.
Like
George Costanza here.
But there are so many games, and that's the way it is. That's why we try and pick close games on here.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, especially when you're having to go against the spread, so many of these, you can get it right and they lose by half a point, But the first game on the list, guys, is West Virginia is at Oklahoma, and the Sooners are a 33.5-point favorite.
Did y'all get to watch much of the Red River Shootout?
A little bit. I was in the press box at Texas A&M, so they were certainly watching it, but the Georgia-South Carolina game was on at the same time.
I know, I found myself watching it there, but the Georgia-South Carolina game was so, I kept going back and forth, then I found myself just watching
it. That one, because it was obvious that Texas wasn't going to score
enough to
win.
So. Right. I thought Oklahoma looked really good.
Yeah, I'm taking them here.
Yeah.
Lying a big number, 33.5, but they can certainly beat West Virginia by that many points.
Right, especially in Norman.
Yeah, I think that Jalen didn't play his best football. He's actually kind of been struggling a little bit compared to the way he had been, of course, playing to start the season. But 33.5 points is a lot.
I've got Oklahoma as well.
I think I'm going to go West Virginia and take the 33.5 points. It's certainly possible. But I think West Virginia can score, 14, 21. Just depends on what Oklahoma ends up putting up. But, I'm going to go West Virginia.
Yeah, we don't do Heisman handicapping here, but I would say from last week, Tua stayed about the same. Jalen probably stayed about the same, although it's a big win for him. It's a marquee-type win.
Bo Nix had the off week, so he stayed the same.
Bo Nix stayed the same. Your two plus movers were Joe Burrow, I thought, going 21 for 24 against Florida, and Jonathan Taylor at Wisconsin. And see you later, Jake Fromm.
He's probably going to come back next year.
He might need to. Yeah. There's a lot of things that he needs to work on.
He needs to work on. And that game wasn't, which we're picking South Carolina the next game, so there's a segue here. That game wasn't all on Jake Fromm either.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating to look around the country, think about their quarterback room, although there was no overlap between Easton and Fields, but Fromm's been in the quarterback room with both of them, and they're both making things happen.
Right.
Easton at Washington and Fields at Ohio State.
Right.
And so it makes you wonder that nobody's saying that you wouldn't want to keep Jake Fromm.
Right.
I'll put it that way. But Justin Fields is going to sting for a year or two, I think.
Right, and it's like he's regressed because he doesn't seem to be the same Jake Fromm that we saw play in the national championship game.
Well,
I thought he played great in that. That's the first time I'd really seen him play a ton, and against Notre Dame. That his freshman year, they really brought him along, and then he turned into a really good player, and then now it's just like he hasn't gotten any better.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that, and I guess like everybody, they've had some issues on the offensive line as far as chemistry, but I'm not sure they have the guys around him. I'm not sure that these running backs
and
are
the receivers. The receivers are decent,
they're good.
They don't have Ruggs. They don't have Waddle.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I like their running backs, their receivers for sure. They lost a ton of weapons. And sometimes we just automatically assume these power programs like the Clemsons and the Alabamas, because Alabama has, for the most part, been able to do it. I mean, you just think that they're going to find guys that can play the position at a high quality level, and that's not always the case.
And it also doesn't help that they're essentially running an archaic offense.
I think that's their biggest issue.
I mean, they're running like the Alabama 2009 offense in 2019. Like, they have no RPOs. You're doing a disservice to your team, your football team, if you're not running any RPOs in 2019. Even Nick Saban, who hated RPOs, is running RPOs. That's all we do.
That brings us full circle back to Justin Fields is running a bunch of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Looking pretty good doing it.
Who got the better end of that Jim Chaney going to Tennessee deal? I mean, because I don't think Georgia's any better with their offensive play caller than they were with Jim Chaney. But
right. And that can't help either, just the turnover.
Yeah. Alabama's dealt with that too. All right, we'll go ahead and move on to the next game.
Which is South Carolina.
Yes, we were getting somewhere with that.
Number 9, Florida, is a 7-point favorite on the road against South Carolina.
This game just kind of got a lot more interesting. Like two weeks ago, we wouldn't have.
Absolutely.
This might not have made the list.
I'm actually surprised that this didn't end up being the CBS game because they had the 6-day pick.
Right.
Took LSU and Mississippi State, which I can't.
I don't really get that, but good for the people to start with.
They hadn't had Mississippi State. Right. I mean, excuse me, they hadn't had LSU yet, so that's part of it.
The big thing for me is the injury to Ron Helinski. I mean, that brace and stuff on his knee.
Is he going to? It's
a knee sprain, and it doesn't
Will
look good.
Will says that he's going to play, but I don't know how I think he's going
to
be.
If he doesn't play, they have zero shot.
Yeah, I think that more so has to do with him trying to get Florida to prepare for two quarterbacks.
Right.
Dekarian Joyner played pretty well.
I mean, I guess. They were so one-dimensional.
But based off of what they, you know, the circumstances.
Florida's got a little bit of that going on, too.
Yeah.
Although I thought they did a pretty good job with their quarterbacks as far as Trask and Jones, you know, when they – I thought that Emory Jones package was really effective down in the red zone for them.
Definitely the Tebow play, whatever you call it.
So I'm going to take Florida here, although Columbia is it's reasonably tough place to play. They're going to be – Florida's going to be a little bit beat up.
Right.
But I'm going to take Florida, like I said.
I'm going to take Florida as well.
Yeah, I'm going to take Florida as well. I think that Helinski being healthy would have fully healthy. Even if he does play, he's going to be hobbled at best, and it might have been a different game. 7 just seems kind of low given the quarterback uncertainty there. All right, next game on the list, number 16, Michigan, is a 7.5-point dog to Penn State, and it's at Penn State.
Penn State's playing well.
I was going to say, is Penn State really that good? Like, I mean, I haven't really watched them much this year.
They've been pretty good. Yeah, they've kind of been one of those teams that I've been riding each and every week. I went with them last week over Iowa. And they just, I mean, no matter who you put in front of them, they end up, you know, performing well enough to get the job done.
Right.
Michigan, I don't know if I can buy into them just yet. I still don't know.
I'm going to go Michigan here.
Okay.
Nothing really behind that. I'm just going Michigan.
I think that if it was at Michigan, I'd probably feel a lot more comfortable with that. But I think I'm going to continue to ride Penn State until they, you know, make me look bad.
Is this their whiteout game? Is this a night game? I think this is their whiteout game.
That's a good question. I haven't checked time of the game, but this has got to be a prime time game.
I'm staying away. After their Penn State letter, I'm staying away from all that.
Oh, God.
I'm staying away from all that. I'm taking Penn State here.
Okay. All right, next game on the list, number 12, Oregon, is on the road facing number 25, Washington, and the Ducks are a 2.5-point road favorite.
This looked like a good game in the preseason that kind of turned into a bad game because you were like, well, how did Washington lose to Stanford? And you know how Oregon lost to the Bo Nix Magic.
Right.
You don't know how Washington – but then all of a sudden, they're both playing well again.
Right.
And so, obviously, a huge game in the Pac-12 North.
Wish this line was 3.
Sure.
I would like to buy that half point. I'm going to take the home dog, though. I'm going to go Washington here.
I am, too. I'm going to agree with Hunter on that.
When Jacob Eason has been playing well, he's been really good. And when he's been bad, Cal, Stanford, I think only one touchdown, two picks. Oregon's got a good pass rush. That Kayvon Thibodeau, that true freshman, number one player in the country, 2.5 sacks in his last three games. He's starting to come on, I think. I think I'm going to take Oregon. So y'all both went Washington?
Yeah.
Okay. Next game on the list, number 17, Arizona State, is at number 13, Utah. And Utah is a 13.5-point favorite.
Herm Edwards done a heck of a job this year.
Right.
I'm gonna take that many points on the road.
Yeah, I'm going to go Arizona State as well.
Yeah, I like Arizona State. Now, granted, Utah's had, I think, a top two or three run defense. And Eno Benjamin has been a huge part of Arizona State's offense. They've been able to run the football, and Jaden Daniels has been able to play off that. If you put it all on Daniels' shoulders, how well does he do? I think that's a big question mark, but I do think that I'd rather take the points in that situation. 13.5 seems like too much. All right, so next game on the list, number 18, Baylor, is at Oklahoma State. And Oklahoma State, despite not being the ranked team, is a 3.5-point home favorite.
Baylor's been good to me this year. I'm taking Baylor.
I've got Baylor as well. Baylor's, like, secretly kind of good.
Yeah. Now, granted, I've been impressed with Oklahoma State's offense. I think I'm going to go Oklahoma State. You know, typically in these situations where you have a team that's ranked, and granted they're on the road, but you would think that Baylor would be a favorite in this one. I think there's a reason Oklahoma State's the favorite, so I think I'm going to give up the 3.5. I wish it was 3, though. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll finish up these last four games. We appreciate you guys hopping on. This is the Bama Beat Podcast, brought to you by Zaxby's. And welcome back into the Bama Beat Podcast, brought to you by Zaxby's. We'll go ahead and dive right back in to these last four games. We're kind of getting into SEC play now. Number 2 LSU is a 19-point road favorite over Mississippi State.
Tough scene for Mississippi State.
Yeah. Like, you kind of saw, to some degree, I didn't see that coming, but I really liked what I'd seen in the first half against Georgia from Tennessee.
Right. It's like they were on the cusp of doing that.
Yeah. The offensive line started playing better. The pieces that they needed to start coming along. Finally, the guys on defense that they expected to be big playmakers, they started making a few plays. I think 3 turnovers versus Mississippi State.
And it seems like it's time to start talking about how Joe Moorhead might suck.
Yeah, which
They're talking about it in Starkville.
Yeah, certainly.
You may not be in Starkville talking, but
I mean, he inherited this, like, really, really talented program. I mean, a ton of talent that Melvin left him. And, I mean, what's he done with it?
I think it's
– And their defense last year was, like
– incredible.
Generationally good.
For them. And that's the thing, though, is, like, I think with him just being a first-year head coach, there were such high expectations for him. The fact that he underperformed with that defense, and then he turned around this season, and granted, he doesn't have that defense anymore. Nothing close to it.
Right.
I really can't blame him. But at the same time, he's not – this just in today's college football, it's tough. I don't know if he's going to be given enough time.
LSU's loving this offense, too. They're looking to score all they can. So right. I'm going LSU.
Man, there's a part of me – Mississippi State seems to always play them tough. But that, yeah, I don't see this defense slowing down LSU enough. Originally, I had down that I was going to take Mississippi State, but I think I'm going to change it and go LSU. I just don't think. Depends on, I guess, who momentum, you know.
As a quick side note that has nothing to do with this game, the only time I've ever been punched in the face was at an LSU-Mississippi State football game in 2007. There's been many times I've deserved to get punched
in the
face.
Right, I was going to say, that's really
That was the only time that I have been punched in the face.
Now, did you deserve that one?
I did not deserve that one. It was a sucker punch.
She hit you a good one.
It was in the Mississippi State student section.
I understand.
Don't go to Thursday night games at the beginning of football season and not cheer for either team. It's just not a good recipe.
No backup in that situation.
They wanted nothing to do with it. And so for the Alabama-Western Carolina game that Saturday, I had a black eye.
Okay, well,
that's why people are tuning into the podcast right there. I'm not going to bring much in terms of the picks, but I will give a good story about me getting punched in the face.
That actually is a really interesting story. I've heard of a lot of, you know, probably as far as physical altercation, was it at Mississippi State?
Yeah, in Starkville. That's, just drove over on Thursday night for the game.
The only time I've ever had like friends and stuff be in physical altercations at opposing stadiums is this is the third person that's been at Mississippi State. I don't know what that's about. I've always heard they were pretty nice over there, but apparently not.
I've also had somebody try to attack me at Humphrey Coliseum at a basketball game.
The all-time, and then we will move on, the all-time fight game that I've ever seen, number of fights in the stands was Alabama, Florida State in 2007, and the game in Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of that going on. That was like a perfect Saturday, too, because Auburn was playing Florida, too. So there were some fights out in the parking lot post-game because we're all pulling for Florida and they're all pulling for it. It was like, yeah. But the great thing about that game is that it actually never happened, according to
the
NCAA
record. That's right. It's been vacated.
Yes. Good point.
The fights have not been vacated.
Nor is Keith Brown's fake injury that he had in that game been vacated from my mind.
All right, next game on the list, Texas A&M is a 5.5-point road favorite over Ole Miss.
I didn't think A&M looked awful, but I didn't think they looked – I mean, I don't think they're anything special.
Here's what I think about A&M. You get a new car, you know, and it looks good, and it's got the right parts, you know, but, man, it needs to get tightened up and tuned up, and that's what Texas A&M needs. They play – too loose. You can't. How do you give up 300 return yards?
Right.
And Alabama's got great returners. Don't get me wrong. But how do you give up 300 yards?
It was
yards?
Almost like they were conceding and that we were going to get 20 yards on every punt.
On the punt.
Yeah. They were just conceding that.
Yeah.
So, they were keeping safe. Like they kept two guys plus the punter back.
Yeah. And they're angling, trying to angle. Yeah. It's just little things like that. It can happen, but you're Texas A&M, man. You should have 11 really good athletes, you know, your backup or linebackers, or your tight ends, they were 12, you know, where you're good on special teams.
Right.
And, Alabama's special teams were fine except the punting. And we'll get into that at a different time. But man, 300 return yards, that's a lot of yardage.
Right.
Alabama's average start position was their own 47-yard line.
Wow.
53
yards.
I
did not realize that.
Yeah.
Their average for the entire game, their average. Now, and that's not counting blocking a punt because you don't have a drive.
Right, yeah.
You know, you also block a punt. If they recovered that on the one, you know, instead of scoring, then it's
– knock it down even more.
Then knock it down even more. So, their average start was at their own 47.
It just seems like these two teams are heading in very different directions right now.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of Ole Miss and Missouri.
Did not see a second of it.
I go back on Sundays and I try and at least keep up with who in the league's doing what. And it was a similar story for Ole Miss. Plumlee can run the ball now.
Yes, right? He can.
He can run the ball, but they can't throw enough with him in there. They talk about, you know, playing the other quarterback, playing Mac.
Corral.
Whatever. They had a series. They're at the end of the half, and they're down at the five, and they run it three times, can't get it in. And so Missouri's just a little bit better. But they just can't get over the hump. I'm taking A&M.
I got A&M, too.
And Hunter and I are agreeing a lot.
Yeah, and
maybe I'm just riding you now. I'm still with the goal of trying to beat.
I promise this has not been pre-discussed.
I think I'm gonna go Ole Miss. Just something's telling me home dog, and I don't know. We'll have to see how that turns out. Both y'all going A&M had me kind of rethinking what I was originally gonna say, but I'll just stick with. We're going 5-5 this week, anyways. All right, next game on the list, number 11, Auburn is an 18.5-point favorite at Arkansas.
I don't know what to do anymore.
I know. I'm confused, and this is such a high number. Because Arkansas is scrapped with everybody. You know, they hung in with A&M. They hung in with Kentucky.
They hang in with everybody.
They hang in with
everybody. Even
everybody.
The crappy team.
Yeah, they hung in with San Jose State. Yeah. So they do kind of play to the level. And their MO doesn't seem to be to lose by 18.5. It's to lose in a painful way.
11,
where, man, if we could have just, you know, made that field goal and gotten an onside kick, you know. And Auburn losing Booby Whitlow is an issue.
Yes.
It is, yeah.
So I'm gonna take the road dog here. We've Auburn may come back and smack me. They may say you jumped off the bandwagon. But I'm going to take the 18 and a half here.
I really don't know what to do.
I don't either. Yeah.
I'm just going to I'm going to revert back to my old ways and take Auburn.
No, probably smart.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's tough.
It's a lot of points.
It's an emotional hedge for me because if Auburn doesn't cover, I'm 100% okay with it. So, yeah.
Good point. Yeah. I don't know. It's tough. That defensive line, granted, they're not going to have home crowd at their back, but Arkansas State's very – or excuse me, not Arkansas State, but Arkansas has just been – it's like they're up and then they're down – each and every week. They're kind of like Texas Tech. They've just been one of those teams that I can't seem to figure them out and what they're going to do. I think I'm going to go Auburn as well. And I probably shouldn't. I don't like the fact that me and Cecil are disagreeing on so many picks here. That probably doesn't bode well for me, but we'll see how it turns out. All right, the premier game of the weekend. Tennessee is a 34.5 point dog heading to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama.
What a great rivalry.
Incredible.
What a great rivalry. I'm just, you know, so glad that we get to play Tennessee every year. This, you know, great, great Southern tradition. While LSU has to play Florida every year, Auburn has to play Georgia every year, and we get to play Tennessee. And, that line came out yesterday. It was 36.5. And it's actually gone down a couple points.
I like it better for Alabama now, to be honest.
Yeah.
34.5 is a pretty...
Yeah, my favorite part, and I get to say this on the podcast, I wouldn't say it in print, but, you know, there's so much tradition, as Hunter said, and now that you have Tennessee grandfathers who are passing down their cigars to their grandsons, that still hadn't been out of the wrapper. Right. You know, these vintage Cubans that have been all wrapped up for, 11 years
been
now?
In the humidor for a while.
Been in the humidor for a decade.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll get...
It really is. Fired.
I don't think they'll get to spark them this weekend.
Just as an aside, it really is amazing to think that the last time Alabama lost to Tennessee was 2006. Like, I was there. I was 21 years old. I remember how that was the Simeon Castile game where if he just cut back, he would have scored a touchdown, and we ended up getting a field goal out of it. That game really sucked. But, like, just wild to think that it's been that long and how different our lives were back then. No iPhones. Lindsay Lohan had never been arrested.
Simpler times.
It was a very, very much. She still looked like the girl from Mean Girls back then.
Yeah.
Prince was still alive.
Oh, yeah, just, yeah.
Life was good.
I was trying to joke, and then Cece had to get real with the Prince.
Well, you know, the question for me here, and who's going to win the game, it's whether. Whatever's been said and all the jokes that have been made about Jeremy Pruitt, he's a good defensive coach.
Right.
And. You know, it's not all about X's and O's against Alabama because you can do, as we saw in the Texas A&M game, you can do the right thing and, you know, Waddle just makes a play and you've given up a touchdown. You miss one tackle and all the X's and O's in the world have gone out the window because Rubs or Waddle or Jerry Jeudy can take it to this. And, again, when Najee's running for 100 yards, you know, it's tough. So I'm going to take Alabama here. I think the atmosphere will be really good with the night game.
The lights.
But, you know, again, this is for entertainment purposes, and nobody put themselves through the torture of wondering what's going to happen in the final 3 minutes of this game and whether they're going to get over or under 34.5.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Alabama as well, I think. I don't know. I just don't – kind of just what Cecil said. I just think we're going to score pretty much. I think we're going to score a lot on them. I don't see them really getting dish with their offense. I don't see them scoring more than 20 points.
Yeah, I definitely, and that's kind of where I was at with it originally. When I first saw the line, I was like, man, if we have to pick that game, I'm definitely taking Tennessee. But then I started thinking about it. I see them probably in the 10 to 14 point range. Not much better than that. I don't think their offense is better than A&M. The good part about it for Tennessee, if you're a Tennessee fan, is they're playing their best football right now.
Right.
I thought when Jarrett Garantano came into the game for the injured Maurer, he actually ended up playing pretty well. The offensive line's playing a lot better. Those two true freshmen are. But I just think, you know, like you guys have said, Alabama's going to pretty much be able to score at will. Yeah, I think I'm going to go to Alabama as well.
It really brings joy to my soul thinking about the prospect of a Tennessee fan driving to Tuscaloosa for this game. Like, you know, a freaking 36 or 34.5 point dog, and they're going to, you know, make that trip. And do they actually think they have a chance? No. And it just, it brings me great, immense joy.
Well, this is,
I want to give them credit, though. They kind of hung in this year as far as turning out and coming out for the game. I thought the Georgia game would be two-thirds Georgia.
Right.
And it wasn't. It wasn't like that. So I do want to give their fans credit. I can understand not wanting to drive down to Tuscaloosa for a game you've got very little reason to think that the Vols are going to win. But their fans have kind of hung in there.
Well, for Vols fans, this is where you go ahead and build that case later to say, if you know, if they ever get good, you are definitely not jumping on the bandwagon.
Right.
You were sitting in Tuscaloosa in 2019.
And again, not a lot of them are going to probably be in Tuscaloosa, but you were in Neyland Stadium, and that's right.
What I tell myself, like, when, you know, people say I'm a bandwagon Alabama fan. No, I was in Georgia in 2003. I was in Athens watching Brandon Hamlin play quarterback.
Okay. Exactly. And, I do think that the good Tennessee turnout against Georgia had a little bit to do with the fact that all the Georgia fans were talking about how they were going to take over their stadium. There's a big talk about that. Tennessee fans were like, we can't let that happen.
Right.
So, you know, but still, I do think that, you know, at least things are pointing in the right direction. We thought they were after that UT Chattanooga game just because of the eye test, and then they ended up getting drugged.
And that, oddly enough, you know, it would be a push. They'd really have to go hard, but they got UAB, they got Kentucky, they've got Vanderbilt. You know, if they could find another one and get to 6-6, maybe they get to a bowl game.
A few weeks ago, we were looking at thinking they might only have two wins.
Yeah, it might
year.
Be 2-10. Yeah. And again, they're no lie. I mean, they got to play, keep improving.
Still got to play the games. Yeah.
Got to play Kentucky, got to play Vandy.
Vandy,
you know,
looks very beatable. Kentucky, I think they could beat. I don't think they will, but I think they could. So.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. That would be a huge win for Jeremy Pruitt and that group. So, all right, well, that's going to do it. Hopefully we can bounce back after another mediocre week for me. We appreciate you guys hopping on and listening today. This has been the Bama Beat Podcast, brought to you by Zaxby's. This episode of the Bama Beat Podcast has been brought to you by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxby's.com/podcast. That's zaxby's.com/podcast.